So we are looking at a really interesting stack of material today.
We are. We've got field notes right here from us at Bug Out Missouri. And then we've got these, well, these very dense FDA and USDA manuals.
And the mission here seems pretty clear. It's
yeah.
all about defense.
It is. Specifically, how you defend a food processing plant from, you know, the things that can shut it down.
And the stakes.
Yeah.
They're not small, are they?
They're incredibly high. I mean, one single pest sighting during an inspection, that isn't just a small problem.
It's not just a demerit.
No. It's a potential public health crisis. It can trigger an immediate full shutdown of the entire facility.
Which is why we're digging into this. We want to help you think more like a detective. The core problem, according to these notes, is that a plant is basically a magnet.
It is. It creates the perfect trifecta for pests.
What's in that?
Unlimited food, unlimited water, and all these climate-controlled places to hide. For a pest, your facility is a five-star resort.
So the whole strategy has to shift then. You can't just wait to, you know, see a rat scurry across the floor.
Oh, by then, it is way too late. You have to be able to spot the crime scene evidence long before an inspector shows up.
It's about catching these other clues. Sensory clues.
Exactly. I mean, most training focuses on what you can see, but smell. Smell is often the very first giveaway.
A weird smell?
Yeah, like a persistent musty or a sharp, oily odor. That can indicate a hidden cockroach infestation long before you ever see one.
Or sounds. I saw that in the notes. Scratching in the walls.
Scurrying noises inside walls or ceilings. Yeah, that's almost always rodents. But the visual clues, the really subtle ones, were the most fascinating part to me.
You mean the rub marks?
That is a classic detective sign. Rodents have oily fur, and they're creatures of habit, so they run along the same walls and baseboards every single day. For safety.
And that oil builds up.
It leaves these dark, greasy streaks along their routes. If you see that, you don't just have a visitor, you have a highway.
It just changes how you look at a room. You're not just looking for bugs anymore. You're looking for, what, piles of fine dust.
Like fine sawdust, yeah. Or tiny little footprints in a dusty corner.
And once you find a clue, then you have to profile the suspect. I really didn't realize how distinct the evidence is.
Oh, it's night and day. With rodents, it's all about the droppings.
Right. Mouse droppings look like little grains of rice.
But rat droppings are much bigger. They're like capsule-shaped pellets, almost an inch long sometimes.
And telling them apart is critical.
It's everything. The treatment for a mouse infestation is completely different from a rat one. If you guess, you're going to fail.
And that goes for the pantry pests, too, right? Yeah. The ones attacking dry goods like flour and grain.
Absolutely. If you see these sort of silky threads or webbing on the shelving.
Moths.
Likely Indian meal moths, yeah. Or you can look at the packaging itself. They chew their way in.
The pinholes.
Exactly. Tiny little holes like someone pricked the bag with a needle. That product is compromised.
Okay, this brings us to what the research called the spider paradox.
Huh.
This was a real aha moment for me.
It's a big one.
Because the instinct is, you see a spider web, you just sweep it down and move on.
But that's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because spiders are hunters. They're not scavengers.
They don't care about your flower.
No. They care about the insects that are eating your flower. So if you see a lot of webs, that's actually a symptom of a different, probably larger, infestation.
The spiders are a signal flare.
They tell you that there's a whole functioning ecosystem inside your plant.
And speaking of the building's ecosystem, we have to touch on the structural threats. Termites and carpenter ants.
Right, the things that damage the building itself. For those, you're looking for piles of shed wings, usually near windowsills.
Or frass.
Which is just the polite term for wood dust mixed with insect waste.
Then there are the birds. People tend to ignore them because they're outside. But
if they get inside, it is a contamination nightmare. It's not just that the chalky droppings, which are obvious, it's their nesting material.
Straw, twigs, feathers.
And if that stuff gets sucked into your ventilation system, you're looking at a massive fire hazard on top of everything else, not to mention the mites they carry.
It just underlines that this isn't about sanitation for its own sake. It's about financial survival.
That is the bottom line. Knowing the difference between a weevil and a termite isn't academic. It determines whether you use the right solution or just waste time while the real problem gets worse.
Because downtime is the most expensive thing there is in this business.
Exactly. So empowering your team to spot these tiny signs, the rub marks, the pinholes, the shed wings, that's what prevents the shutdown.
So next time you walk the floor, be the detective.
And here's a final thought for you. If you do happen to spot a spider in your facility today, don't just kill it. Stop for a second and ask yourself, what is it hunting in here? What's hiding in these walls that is keeping that spider so well fed?